The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Here I am, back with The Right Stand podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Friday and there are plenty of subjects to talk about. But what grabs the spotlight first up is Xi Jinping touching down in Chennai and PM Modi waiting there for that informal summit with President Xi Jinping. 6 hours the two leaders are going to spend with each other, various discussions. There is going to be highlight of culture, heritage, and they're going to try and make it as apolitical, at least the optics of it. But will there be other issues which will be talked about? What is going to be read between the lines? There are plenty of aspects to talk about. Does Xi Jinping do this often with other leaders? That is a big question. And if India has been able to engage with the President for Life of the People's Republic of China in this manner, which no other country has been able to do, then there seriously is an impact and perhaps something that India has to offer which interests China, and perhaps that is what India can use, especially in its focus in the fight against terrorism and to try and also put in place its pesky neighbor, that is Pakistan. There are plenty of things that have been happening around. There's this hashtag that's been trending around Prime Minister Narendra Modi. And the information is that there were a lot of Pakistani handles, ISPR and ISI influenced handles, which were trying to influence this trend on social media. You can do whatever you want on virtual space. It's not very difficult. If you have 200 people tweeting at the same time on a particular hashtag, the hashtag will start trending. And then you can continue to keep the pressure on. But it's what's happening in the real world that actually matters. In the real world, Pakistan has been snubbed even by the Chinese. Pakistan has been told that arms being supplied to its army should not end up in the hands of terrorists. And if that's happening, then that's also going to stop. Pakistan has been denied any upgrade to its arms being given, or even the flight capacities or capabilities, anti-aircraft capabilities also, by the Chinese, saying you don't have money. And China has said that we will stand with you, we will help you in the real issues of Pakistan, not what you are trying to make as issues that concern Pakistan. This is also a subtle message to the Pakistanis and to Imran Khan and their ilk, that we're going to tolerate you, we're going to support you, but we are not going to allow you to do what you please. Pakistan should be inconsequential and insignificant in India's discourse with China because there are much larger issues. We share a far greater border with the Chinese than we do with the Pakistanis. And we've got so much more peace with the Chinese in terms of dealing with the border, despite having a very, very blurred McMahon line and the line of actual control. That is what is significant, that how India and China, despite having fought a war with each other in the 1960s, have been able to maintain an equation where both love to hate each other and also hate to love each other, but continue to engage with each other. This is an aspect which is unique. And in terms of cultural exchange and in terms of the growing Chinese influence in the Indian markets and the Indian influence in China, there is a significant up on both levels. China actually contributes far greater to our GDP than we do to the Chinese, and invests far more in India compared to what it does in Pakistan. But Pakistan angle comes into the fray because of why China is holding out a candle for the Pakistanis, despite Pakistan being proven as a haven of terror. Now, let's keep that aspect aside and look at the trade and the other optics and the fact that the world is going to watch that PM Narendra Modi, just a month ago, was in Houston and Donald Trump was right beside him, holding hand in hand, walking across. And on the other side this evening, you're going to have Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Xi Jinping engaging with each other. India's ability, PM Modi's ability to strike equations and friendly equations with those who have been traditional rivals and who have always polarized nations against each other is phenomenal. Because throw in a Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel in between, MBS and Saudi Arabia, all of these people have engaged with the Prime Minister at a personal level because the PM has spoken to them as to what matters with them. He's shifted the attention away and kept the spotlight on what matters as far as equations between India and China are concerned. Yes, it's happening in Tamil Nadu. So there is a domestic political angle to it also. Because the PM, for a reason, spoke in Tamil at the UNGA, came back and did the inauguration in Chennai and also met the students at IIT, and also spoke about the fact that how Tamil is the oldest language, because the Prime Minister is warming up, and also a lot of the South is warming up to the Prime Minister and his intentions with India as a scale. This is making a lot of the Dravidian parties very, very nervous, ladies and gentlemen, because PM Modi, this anti-Modi sentiment is what most of the parties in South India have been able to feed on and try to survive on. This anti-North Indian parties, national parties, to try and protect their own regional politics. But if Prime Minister Narendra Modi is able to break the ice, and if there is a thaw in the perception, and if more and more people gravitate towards the PM, that means it is also going to allow that door to make for the BJP to make inroads. The Prime Minister also very, very serious about national integrity, about trying to represent all cultures, settling the language debate once and for all, and also going on to say that the PM recognizes that Tamil Nadu, Chennai is also the growth engine. China has a lot vested in culturally and also economically in that market, in that region of our country. So he's put all these aspects into perspective, and we'll have to see what the Foreign Secretary briefing or the Ministry of Foreign Affairs briefing elucidates in terms of what was discussed between the two leaders. Debate number two. The Muslim intelligence in our country are saying, court ka faisla musalmanon ke paks mein bhi ho gaya, to bhi jahan Ramlala virajman hai, wahan kabhi masjid ban sakta hai kya? To kis baat ka fasad kar rahe ho bhai? Chhod do, mandir banne do. Larger good, greater good of the society is, let the Ram Mandir be there where Ram Lala was born, or where Hindus believe Ram Lala was born. And let's just dissipate this entire issue for politicking and politics by certain parties. Now here is the twist. Some of the people who have said this have angered the BJP in the past, have got the support of the AIMPLB and the Congress party in the past. But today their position is something which the AIMPLB and the Congress party are wanting to not palate, not tolerate. Now, these are the aspects which will stand out, and we'll have to see how these dynamics work. Lieutenant General Zameer Ali Shah, former Chancellor of the Aligarh Muslim University, wrote a book on the riots in Gujarat, which was not taken to very, very kindly by the BJP not so long ago. Anis Ansari, former bureaucrat, is also the UP head of the All India Professional Congress. So there is a Congress connection which is happening. And he is coming out and saying, dekho, the land belongs to the Muslims. But you may look at it from a legal point of view, we are looking at it from a people point of view. Agar faisla hamare haq mein ho bhi jata hai, to bhi wahan kabhi masjid banna nahi hai. Fasad hoti rahegi, jhagde hote rahenge, aur log isko politically capitalize karte rahenge. Khatam karo fasad, de do zameen. Maan lo zameen hamari hai, lekin Ram to sabke hain. Banne do wahan par mandir, that's what they're saying. Give it back to the government, let the government give it to whoever they want. Is that going to be acceptable? Will the Hindus say, कि जी हाँ जमीन आपकी है यानी मुसलमानों की है लेकिन मंदिर रामलला का बनेगा. इज दिस गोइंग टू एंड द फसाद? इज द कांग्रेस रेडी फॉर अ कॉम्प्रोमाइज? व्हाट इज द कांग्रेस पोजीशन? डज द कांग्रेस पार्टी रियली बिलीव दैट दिस लैंड वाज पार्ट ऑफ एक्चुअली बिलोंग्स टू मुस्लिम डिस्पाइट इट बींग फोर्सिबली टेकन 400 ईयर्स अगो बाय बाबर? द आर्ग्यूमेंट बींग मेड इज 400 years ago, a lot of things happened. But what is it? How are we going to take things forward today? You can keep going back in history, and then the Aryans will have to vacate India. That is an argument which is being made. So you can keep going back to history, or we can look towards the future and walk ahead. But is this issue going to end here? Or are these noises also pointing to another perhaps fait accompli? That after the hearing is over on the 17th of October, the arguments are heavily loaded in favor of one of the factions among the litigants in the Ram Mandir Babri Masjid issue. One aspect they say is there has to be a certain amount of closure that has to be given because the structure was demolished in the 90s, in our times, post-independence, post-we see how India is today, that is post-1947. And the perpetrators of that crime should be punished so that there is a certain amount of closure that is given. Those cases need to be speeded up. And then there is a window which says, all right, it's a matter of aspect, astha of fellow Indians. Let's respect that. Nobody is going to become smaller. We as a society, we as a people will only become greater. Badi mazedar debate hogi aaj raat ko. I'll see you then. Bye for now.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.